Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, an extra 15 points if you can tell me who that is. Nah, I didn't. I had to look him up. That guy's name is Menelek, and he used to be the leader of Ethiopia. And he was a good leader. He accomplished a lot of things for his country. However, he was a bit of a religious fanatic, and he had a kind of a some few strange ideas. He believed that the Bible was a magical book, and it had healing powers. Whenever he felt sick, he would eat a page of Scripture. One time he felt really sick, so he ate the entire books of 1 and 2 Kings. Now, of course, the magic didn't work, and of course, he died. The autopsy revealed that he died of an intestinal obstruction. In order to be truly healed, the leader of Ethiopia would have been better served to seek healing from the pure Word of God, who is Jesus Christ. Instead, he treated the Word of God superstitiously. Of course, the world does that today, and as false teachers continue to do. Under the dominion of darkness, those whose worldly agenda does not allow Scripture to speak clearly, they also do not allow people to see true healing. They don't allow there to be true wholeness as God alone provides us with, through Jesus Christ. Though the world does not want us well and healthy, Jesus disregards this world's standards and does the honor of our healing anyway. As we just sang twice, Jesus is the source of life and truth and grace. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus wants us to be whole and pure. The Old Testament lesson today says, remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Jesus himself produces vessels by his righteousness and his healing power. Today in the gospel lesson, Jesus does his healing of the man in spite of the Pharisees, in spite of what this world thinks is right or good or correct. It's not the standards of the world that Jesus has come to meet. Those are low and they are false standards anyway. Jesus, instead, he came to meet the standards of holiness and righteousness that are set by God the Father in heaven. That standard is perfection. In our confession and absolution a few minutes ago, we said, I plead guilty before God of all sins. Sounds a little strange. But when you think about it, are you perfect? I'm not perfect. So the sins of this world are my sins. It's easy for us to forget that. The standard is perfection and pure righteousness. And it's only pure. It's only pure like pure silver. It's only that purity, those who have that purity, who will have the honor to stand before God. And there's no other way to be pure than to be purged of all the dross, the sin, the filth, the false humility, all of that stuff that we so easily possess. And sometimes we even forsake the false part of humility, and we pursue our own agenda or seek to promote ourselves above other people anyway. This is pointed out today in all three of our lessons. All of them speak of not seeking the highest place for yourself, but rather letting the host come and find you, and He brings you up to the place of honor where he wants you to be. If we're honest, we see in our sin and pettiness that we indeed have no reason to think that we deserve any honor anyway. I have only to look into my own heart and life and realize and be in terror of my own sinfulness. Heavens, not only do I have no standing to seek a place of honor, I don't even deserve to be at the banquet. The stain and shame of my sin is as the wickedness of the wicked officials in Proverbs that keep the king's throne from being established in righteousness. That's me. That wickedness is what I am. How often, just using the things in the epistle lesson from today, how often do I love money? How often am I immoral? How often do I refuse to show hospitality? And how often, when I do give any thought to those in prison, it's a self-righteous thought of, well, they deserve to be there anyway. The truth is, that's where I belong. It's where you belong. Because of our sinfulness. And what about those who are mistreated? Again, how often do I even give them a thought? Let alone seek to, in some small pittance of a way, to help them. And then, when I do that, it's more out of a sense of guilt rather than a sense of gratitude. No, I am not fit to even be at the banquet. However, by what Jesus does with the man in the gospel who was misshapen, so my misshapen form under my old nature, the old man, the sinful self that I was born with, he is changed. I am given grace to be made not just acceptable, but to be made pure and righteous. It's given to me a new form and a new nature. The nature I am given is that of Jesus Christ. It's new life that he gives to me. It's only by his grace and mercy that I am not just spared, but by his doing, I am given a totally new life. A new nature. It's an honor given to me that I don't deserve. Honor, when you think about it, honor is not something you take for yourself. Honor is given to you. There was a rumpled brown paper package that was addressed simply to Monsieur Kipling. Rudyard Kipling, of course, the British author, Nobel Prize winner. He opened this package because his curiosity was aroused by the painstaking scrawl that was on the label. Inside was a red box that contained a French translation of his novel, Kim. It had been pierced by a bullet hole that had stopped at the last 20 pages. Through the large bullet hole, tied with a string, dangled the Maltese cross of the Croix de Guerre, France's medal for bravery in war. The book had been sent to Kipling by a young French soldier named Maurice. Maurice explained in a letter that had this book not been in his pocket when he went into battle, he would have been killed. Maurice asked Kipling to accept the book and the medal as a token of gratitude. Kipling, it's later said, felt more moved than he had been by any other honor that he had ever received. Through him, God had spared the life of this one soldier. Now, like this soldier, we too have been given new life from a book. It's the Word of God that gives us life. And like the honor given to Kipling, it's a pure gift. It's an honor bestowed by grace, not because we've done anything or said anything. It is pure gift. And it's not from being superstitious, like Menelik. Jesus gives me and you, in spite of this world and its desire to block our healing, Jesus gives us new life, that restoration to wholeness that puts a new nature within us. At the baptismal font and at the banquet of Holy Communion, and by the gift of faith, Jesus gives to you and I purity and true holiness. Again, as the epistle lesson says, Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. His blood. His blood shed outside the city gate on the cross. That alone is what changes me. That alone is what changes you. That blood. That blood and perfect sacrifice was done so that, like the man healed in the gospel lesson, as everyone was watching to see what Jesus would do, I too and you too are healed. I am healed through his gift of faith to me. You are healed through his gift of faith to you. At the font and at the altar rail, we are healed while the world watches. No, they aren't watching me. They aren't watching you. They're watching to see what Jesus does here and here and here in our hearts. Remember in Hebrews, God has said, and let's read this together. I think I have it up there, don't I? Oh, I don't have it up there. I don't have it up there. Sorry. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Who cares if the world watches? Who cares if the world watches? The Lord is our helper. We cannot be constrained by the world, the devil, or our own sinful flesh. The Lord is our helper. Now say this with me. The Lord is our helper. Knowing that, living in that, and allowing that truth to fill us, we then can hear verses 15 and 16. You can read this with me, please. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. We are free. We are free of the world. We are free to do good. We are free to share with others. Though the world watches us and even judges us as they did with Jesus, it's the thanksgiving of our hearts for being made holy and pure. That's what now flows from our lips. That's what flows from our actions. That's because, as Jesus said in verse 11 of the gospel, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is the one who already has exalted us. He has brought us up to the highest place of honor. We've been brought into the wedding feast of the Lamb and the kingdom of God. By the blood of the same Lamb of God, he has taken away our stain and the shame of sin, and he has exalted us by his grace and his mercy alone. So, what will we show the world? The world that seeks to hold us down, the world that seeks to drown us in our sin. As they watch, what will we show them? We have the great honor to show them good and to share with them the healing, the wholeness, and the restoration that we, though undeserving, have been gifted with. We go from here today in Jesus' name, truly what? Hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.